Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, A Home Like This One.
Genesis chapter number 2, verse 1 through 10, and I know I'm running out of time quickly. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 1 through 10, and verse 15 through 17, but I say again, as you read, think about your house. Think about your home. Think about building the beloved community because of what flows out of your house, my house, our house. Let's read. And thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because he had rested from his work which he had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, and they were created. And in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up in the midst of the earth, and it watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden in eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in his sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out from the Eden to the water of the garden, and from thence it was parted, and it became into four heads. Skip down to verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Lord, give us a home like this one. Father, we thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next 4 to 12 minutes. God, give me articulation of speech. Let me say what you've said. Let me declare what you've declared. Let me speak, oh God, not only, oh God, with clearness, but let me speak with accuracy. That we could have the Jehovah Shalom in our house, a peace that surpasses all understanding, that because it is in our house, it now flows out of our house, and we take living waters unto the whole world, and we build again that beloved community because we have a home like this one. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said amen and amen. Ministers, you guys can be released. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have the information, the revelation, and the plans for the type of homes we really should desire. Let me say that again. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have the information, the revelation, and the plans for the type of homes we should desire to have. We must get back to the foundational instructions given to Adam and Eve. Somebody say to me, say, we must get back to the foundational instructions given to Adam and Eve. Put in your notes, Psalms 11:1. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Can I submit to you much of what's going on in our homes is because the foundations have been destroyed. We have no foundational beliefs that we are anchored into. That we believe. that we agree upon. And so now we see the dysfunction in culture that now our government officials are admitting to us, they don't know what to do about that situation. I believe because God's trying to point back to the church. And for the church to say, it begins in our home. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have information. We have revelation. We have plans for the type of homes we desire to have. A few weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 16 and 11. And God says, I'm going to put you on a path that you should follow. In my presence, you will find the fullness of joy. And then the last thing in that message God said was, I'm going to lead you into the greatest pleasures that you have ever experienced. In Psalm 16 and 11, he says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Please hear me. God desires us to live a life full of pleasure. But it must come by his mode of what he defined as obedience, but also what he defined as pleasure. Some of the things that we have been convinced are pleasurable, all they form is grief and misery. And we've got to get reprogrammed what God defines as pleasure. Feeling God's hand upon your life. Pleasure. Knowing how to be a man, even in the absence of your father raising you, and you figuring it out, is pleasure. You finding out how to be that Proverbs 31 woman is pleasurable. Now they're going to tell you, running to the club and dropping it like it's hot and all that stuff is pleasurable, but if any of you done that would tell us the truth, a lot of that stuff lived in misery. And why did I do this? And I never want to do that again. I see I got some witnesses in here. I never want to do that again. I see I got some witnesses in here. I never want to do that again. It is nothing. And I think sometimes you don't discover this until you get a little older in your life. It ain't nothing like going home, food in the refrigerator, everybody in the house doing what they're supposed to do. And you come in the house. See, some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you either my age or you done passed my age. It ain't nothing like going to work, come home, family doing what they're supposed to do, and you just sit down and say, I see I got 3 or 4 witnesses. Now the rest of you that you think that's boring, get my age. It ain't nothing like after a hard day's work, coming into the house, whether it's you or us, and everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you come in the house and you just sit down. You know what you're saying, Ernest? I'm home. You know what you're saying? This is my domain. I know what's going on in here. Elder LaTanya, you know what you're really saying? I'm so glad I didn't bring them co-workers. I'm so glad they can't get in here. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. When you sit down, that's everything you say. God, I'm glad they didn't follow me home. You've discovered it's a home like this one in Genesis 2 that you really discover what he calls pleasure. I said in the lesson that I taught out of Psalm 16 and 11, I said it very loud and clear. The Lord is now leading us into our greatest pleasures that will flow out of his right hand. He's already showed us in the last five lessons that I taught how to disarm what's without us. And I need to say this again loud and clear. I talked about evil constrictors. I talked about evil misleaders. I talked about evil benefactors. And I need to keep saying this real loud. That's not the stuff that's supposed to be in our house, in our house. That's supposed to be the stuff that's out there. And because we got to go out there, we go wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. What we really supposed to be doing, what's in here? What's in here, Charlene? You know, the when we get up and go out from here, what we really supposed to be doing is now what's in here? Taking it to the job. Taking it to our neighborhood. Taking it to everywhere we go. Can I tell you guys the problem? The problem is because we're not convinced that in here is the way the rest of the world is supposed to be. We're looking how to conform to what's out there. We're looking to see how to fit in. I'm sorry. Some people that I have to mix among in my everyday doing, I don't want none of what they got. Okay, y'all, I got two people laughing that's going to tell the truth. They tell me what's in their house, and I be like this. I be like, sometimes I be like this. Ain't taking none of that home with me. Truth of the matter, Jasmine, what's home, we now supposed to be taken to everywhere we go. But I'm going to say again, because we have this identity crisis, we're trying to sort of kind of fit in what's out there. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you have not been called to fit in. Come on, tell him, say, you have been called to stand out. And Edward, you can get ready to doxology me, son. I'm almost done. You've been called to stand out to show them this is how a house is supposed to function. And when you come out your house, you carry water to the whole world. Please, I'm talking to somebody. Stop trying to fit in with what's out there. I'm telling you what's out there. Evil constrictors, evil misleaders, and evil benefactors. In fact, the Bible says they're going to wax worse and worse the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ. So stop trying to fit in. There's a message that I'm trying to drill to Malachi and Isaiah. You're different from all of your classmates. You live a different kind of lifestyle. Yes, the standard. No, a C ain't okay in here. But daddy, I got a C. C is okay for them. C's ain't okay for you. What's okay for you is B's and A's. You don't just have computers. You have laptops. You don't just have laptops. You have iPads. You don't just have iPads. You got 3-4 iPhones that you can use. And then you got a library of dictionaries. You got a father that'll take you to Morgan State's library. So you can't be a C student. Do me a favor. Tell somebody, say, neighbor, stop trying to fit in. If you would stop trying to fit in, they would figure out that you stand out and they would become more open to who it is that you are now bringing to them. Do me a favor, take a neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, stop trying to fit in. You're supposed to be taking the house that the Lord built and you're supposed to be taking it into all the world. We've been empowered to disarm whatever's out there. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. I don't care about them being evil constrictors. I don't care about them being my evil misleaders. I don't care that it is evil. Evil is out there, but evil should be shaken because we coming. We coming up into them mountains, Hans. And the enemy should be shaken because we got the revelation of who we are. We ain't nervous because of what's out there. They nervous because we coming and we getting jobs and we completing degrees and we're figuring out that, hey, I'm a pastor to pastors. We've been empowered. Come on, tell your neighbor, you've been empowered. In fact, Jesus said, the keys of death and hell, I now give them unto you. keys of the kingdom. I give them to you. You got power keys to unlock stuff. I'm talking about curses and stuff that have hurt your family members. You now got the keys to unlock it. You've been empowered. Now we just got to go do it. And that's what Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 2, it says, I'm going to give you a home like this one. I told you many times that how Genesis begins is how Revelation ends, in a garden. God is going to get us back to, in the cool of the day, he walking among us. Oh, God, I could go somewhere there. He's going to get us back to the cool of the day. He just walks into the garden. We experience the Jehovah Shalom. He reigns. He transforms our earth to his heaven. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed, but be ye transformed. He's not just delivering us, he's transforming us. That we can have a house like this one. Your house, one of the things that we confess over ourselves that I don't think is good, we confess that every house has some kind of dysfunction. Why? When they came out of Egypt, your Bible says there was no feeble one among them. He was saying there was no dysfunction among them. Come on, tell your neighbor, stop confessing that. Stop confessing that. Come on, say I'm healed. Come on, say I'm healed. Come on, say I'm whole. Come on, say I'm well able. Whatever you believe about yourself will come true. Whatever you believe about yourself will come true. If you believe every home must have some kind of dysfunction, a dysfunction will manifest. But it might be a familiar spirit, but you don't know the difference. You've been empowered to disarm everything that the enemy's doing. In fact, 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you missed everything I said, don't miss what I'm saying in this moment, all right? 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil, right? Reverend Anthony, please tell me, that's scripture, right? So, did Jesus come? Huh? How many of you guys believe Jesus came? He's not something of our imagination. It's not something just created by the historian, right? Well, 1 John 3:8 said, with this purpose was the Son of Man manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. All right, did he come? Did he die? Was he resurrected? So what did he come for? To destroy the works of the devil. So why are the works of the devil working on us? They've been destroyed. It's just because of ignorance and blindness we drope in workers of darkness that have already been destroyed, that we are supposed to be enforcing the legislation of our Christ. Now hear me. Sometimes you got to enforce the legislation of your Christ. You didn't hear what I said. Sometimes you have to enforce the legislation of your Christ. That's been disarmed, and I'm enforcing it. Taking authority from, so I ain't letting you work here. Sometimes you have to enforce the legislation of your Christ. Naomi, the easiest way to do that is know the legislation and then speak it. And hear me, people, Satan and familiar spirits, atmospheres know if you mean what you say. How many of you guys got children? Let me see your hand. How many got, especially if you got little children. Now I know they were little one time. One of the things you find out about children real quickly, they know if you plan or not. Come on, school teachers. They know if you say, stop it. I can keep doing it. She ain't mean it. Stop it. Okay, I better listen this time. But I ain't gonna stop. But when you hear, hey, didn't I tell you this? Oh, don't do it no more. I even got one crying. Just stop crying and looked at me when I just changed my voice. Well, it's the same way in the spiritual realm. Powers, authorities, spirits, familiar spirits, they know whether you're serious or not. They know if you mean what you say. And please hear me. Some of the legislation of our Christ, we have to enforce. Satan, the Lord thy God, rebuke you. That's enforcement. Somebody said to me, that's enforcement. Can I tell you one more thing? And then I'm going to go ahead and get finished because I'm out of time. Satan won't stop until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Y'all better please hear me. If Satan, the devil, evil spirits, familiar spirit start working on you, you crying, don't bother them. They got to find out that you ain't playing. They got to find out that you done anointed your own self. They got to find out that you done called a fast. Y'all ain't hearing me. They got to find out that you serious and you going to stay on the wall until that high place comes down. And you'll be amazed when they discover it. They just flee. When they find out that you're serious. Some of the legislation of our Christ must be enforced. I'm going to walk in divine health. I've been enforcing that since the doctor gave me a diagnosis that I'll be in his office by some condition of my heart. I got tired of his opinion. That's the best you can tell me? Okay, I'm an enforcer, and I'm going to walk in divine health, and I'll never see you again. I'd rather die believing God than live doubting him. These died in the faith, having not received the promises. You choose whether you want to live in belief or doubt. I need to tell somebody, you need to hear me. Some of the stuff that you hear me talking about, victorious, power over, disarming authority, you got to enforce that. And you got to enforce it with a stern hand and a declaring word. Especially if you want the kind of home like Genesis chapter number 2. There's some important things that we see in Genesis 2 that is very important. Y'all please hear me. You got the points last week, so you know where I'm going. This is very important. What do we see in Genesis chapter 1 and what do we see in Genesis chapter 2? Now, how many of you guys really want a home like Genesis 1 and 2? Let me see if you want that. Let me see your hands. All right. You sure? Are y'all sure? Lakia, you sure? All right. There are some things, and I won't to worry about too much of my points today. I want to give you this, and then I'll sort of kind of come in. The first thing that God does with Adam, Eve being inside of him, the first thing he gives them, y'all ready? He gives them some challenging work. You missed it. The first thing he gives to Adam and Eve is challenging work. Go read your Bible. He placed them in the garden, and then what did he have to do? He had to keep the garden. God didn't come down to keep the garden. It was Adam. Y'all please hear me. Those that you of us that you think have a peaceful, happy home, I need to tell you something. Whole lot of work. Whether you're talking about the natural house or the other house, whole lot of work. You know how many, I'm going to give you the natural. You know how many times we've got somebody working in our basement now. We building up our basement and redoing it. Do you know how many times I have to dust my hardwood floors upstairs because somebody working downstairs? Got to go get out the oil and I got to go get the stuff that cleans hardwood floor. And I'm like, I wish that doggone God would finish downstairs. Because it seemed like if he hit a nail, the dust land on my hardwood floor upstairs. Don't let Kim, the boys, walk downstairs to see what he's doing. Don't let Kim or the boys walk down there to see what the man down there doing. My hardwood floors look like, what is this? What is this? Why am I the only one to see these prints? y'all know if them prints on my hardwood floors keep, see, some of y'all don't know about the hard work of a house. If you get hardwood floors dirty and people keep stepping on that dirt is driven into the hardwood floors, and now the hardwood floors become that much more difficult to clean. I can tell some of y'all don't even have no idea what y'all talking about. I don't even want to come in y'all house. I'm scared to death. As first-time homeowners, and I'm promise y'all, I'm about done. As first-time, all y'all that y'all live in an apartment or you live in somebody else's stuff, you might want to stay there a little while. Because first-time homeowners will tell you 3 weeks in, there's a lot of work. Come on, first-time home workers, y'all please tell them to tell the truth. This is a lot of work. The roof leaking. The heater ain't working. Can we just open the oven? Come on, y'all. Y'all better act like y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't got no money to buy no new furnace. I'm going to open up the oven and it'll heat us up. See, I can tell y'all ain't first-time homeowners. I can tell. See, when you lease and you just call the landlord when it ain't working. Well, when you own the house, you call a repairman. And your hope is covered by the warranty that you bought for $39.99. And then you find out nothing ain't covered with that old stinky warranty. Y'all don't fix nothing. And then the man looks at your heating unit when it ain't working. He said, how old is your heating unit? Well, it worked last year when he asked me them kind of questions. It worked last year. Don't be asking me how old it is. What that got to do with my heat coming out? I know what he's setting up. He want to tell me he want to put a whole new heating unit in my house. I ain't no dummy. No, no, no. Light the switch and get my fire back burning, and I'll tell you what I want to know. I can tell these homeowners, and the other ones don't know what I'm talking about. You better light my furnace with that match, and I give you $50, and you go about your business. Ain't got no new furnace money. Come on, homeowners, right? You know what I'm talking about. You better find a match that'll light that furnace. Get a long one. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Your match too short. Anybody that have a house, and I promise y'all, I really am about done. Ravens ain't party playing yet. I'm praying for them with Green Bay today. Guys, the first thing that God gives to Adam, the first thing he gives to them is work. If we're going to have that kind of house like this, y'all better please hear me. I'm trying to tell people, before you get married, work on your house. And now I ain't talking about nothing natural now. Because whatever in you when you get married, I'm out of you. Oh, she can bring it out of your bone. Okay, but don't say that. Oh, come on, don't say nothing, Andre. Oh, Kim brings some stuff out of Andre that Andre ain't never seen before. Jordan's back there smiling like I ain't getting it on this. I can see all y'all. I can figure anybody out. I try to tell people before they get married, work on this house as much as you can, because when it becomes two and now they're trying to become one flesh, you're going to find out quickly, I need a little bit more work before I did this. That's all of us. We think we ready because love done blinded us. And then marriage caused our eyes to come wide open. I ain't the man I thought I was. I'm nowhere close to Proverbs 31. You better get these critters, I mean these children. Y'all know that you find out that, man, I don't have the patience that I need for these children. There's too many of them. Right, Karina? There's too many of y'all. Come here, Holden. What art thou, Holden? You better come and get these babies you created. And you find out, some days I talk to Malachi and Isaiah, and I'm your pastor. I don't have no problem telling you this. I'm sorry, some of our visitors, Karina, put your hand up. People don't know I'm talking about. That's her right there with all them babies. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. I ain't got no problem. I got five. So y'all let y'all know. Y'all can talk about me. You got a whole bunch. One of the first things you discover when you really start marrying, trying to make a house a home, you discover It's a whole lot of work. Y'all better please listen. Let me see the single folks. Let me see the single folks. Work. I know I got more than three single people in here. Single people, while you're single, work on yourself as much as you can. Because the less you don't work on yourself, the more it's going to tell on you when you get married.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.